It is great to be together. I want to extend my welcome also. Thankful that you're here. And I know a number of those who are often worshiping with us in the service are back there fixing lunch for people and serving lunch. And so a lot of our high schoolers are busy back there. So do make sure you get a chance to say hi to them and enjoy the good food. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you that in the midst of the cold of the winter, we can be warm, that we have food and shelter and clothing. We pray for those who are not as fortunate. And pray, God, that you would give us generous hearts, spirits, even, Lord, generous pocketbooks and actions, that we would share the wealth of your riches, spiritually and physically, with others. God, grant us the grace to be rooted in you and bearing good fruit in this world. And right now, as we look to your word, we pray that you would meet us where we are. The roots that we send out to you right now, we pray that you would nourish our roots with the grace of your word, that we might grow in all you intend and serve you and our neighbor well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things you may have experienced, I've certainly have when I've been hiking in the mountains, is working hard toward a peak that I'm so excited about. The whole group that I'm with, we're almost there, and you get there to this peak, and it's great, except that you also can see another peak yet beyond. Have you ever done that? It's a little depressing and a little exciting both, because you actually reach the great spot, you get a good view, but then you need to regroup and venture on. I think life is like that in so many ways, isn't it? We think that we're going to get to this point and everything's going to be great. We've arrived. And you're like, yep, that was good. And let's keep going, because that's life. We got to keep going. I mean, think about Abraham, the beginning of the Bible, how he steps out. God says, I want you to venture forward and I'm going to show you the land you're going to end up in. And the rest of life is that continual adventure for him, and it is for us too. In today's gospel lesson, it's from John chapter 1. It's a story of Philip and Nathanael being called by Jesus to follow him. And as we look at Nathanael and pay attention to his expectations, we'll find that they keep kind of being broken open. He thinks that God can only work in a certain way, and God isn't limited by his expectations. He thinks that this is the great thing. Jesus is going to be able to tell him that he saw him back before Philip invited him to come meet Jesus. And Jesus says, that's not all that big a deal. Everything you've seen so far is just a taste of what's in store as you come and you see who I am and what I'm up to. I want to invite you this morning as we listen to this story about Philip and Nathanael and Jesus speaking to them. As you hear how Nathanael's mind is blown again and again as he begins to recognize who he's meeting, I want to invite you to ask God to break open the limits of your expectations and open your heart to who God really is and what God really can do and wants to do in your life and through you and in this world. So this is from John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You haven't seen anything yet. I love that line in here. It actually took place in the passage just before this when Jesus invited Andrew and an unnamed disciple, and Andrew went and got his brother Peter to come and follow Jesus. Those disciples had asked him, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." I just invite you to let that line sink into your heart, into your mind for a few moments right now. I want to invite you to carry those words with you this week. Come and see. Come and see. Did you say that with me? Come and see. This is at the heart of the spiritual life of faith. It's a sense of expectation where we're venturing forward, like Abraham out of Haran. We're venturing forward with the sense of expectation to come and see what it is that God is up to, who it is that we've encountered. Many of us here, we have some sense of who Jesus is. Many here have experienced him. You've prayed to him. You've invited Jesus to live in your heart and your life, to be your Lord and your Savior. And in fact, here in the Gospel of John, this first chapter, in about 25 different ways, the Gospel writer keeps on telling us about this Jesus. He's the Word made flesh. He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He keeps going on with all these titles. But what we find is that all these different glimpses that we have of who Jesus is fall short. None of them do justice to who Jesus really is. Come and see. This whole passage ends up with the one that we are worshiping here this morning, this one is the one upon whom heaven is opened. And the angels of God, all the riches of heaven, all the help that we need is open to us through Jesus. The angels ascending with our prayers, with our needs, with our hopes, with our dreams, with our frustrations, ascending to the throne of God and descending with all the spiritual blessings that we could possibly need. Heaven is open to us. So we can live with a sense of expectation that empowers us to live in the face of the challenges of life with this great hope that is ours. You know, there are some hopes that disempower us. When we've kind of set our life course and we know that here's the way things are supposed to happen. I'm going to get this grade. I'm going to get this reference. I'm going to get into this college. I'm going to get this job. And then that job's going to lead to this one. And this is going to lead. Do you know people who do that? Maybe you're one of them. And then one of those little pieces gets pulled out from you. It might be health, or it might be the job didn't come through, or it might be you didn't get into that college, or maybe that person that you knew you were going to build the rest of your life with didn't feel the same way. And suddenly things start to fall apart, and you feel like I don't have anything left in me. It's like when you're in a football game, you know, and you know how things are supposed to go, and they don't go that way. And you can start to feel like, it's all. I mean, I watched a basketball game yesterday where one team, they've been so good, and then things didn't go their way. And you could just see them. They're tired. They're not feeling so good. And they don't think they can get to the ball before the other team. And this shot's not going to go in, so it doesn't go in. And then something turned in the last quarter, and they're like, "You know what? I think we can do this." I love that when you see that. You know, you can see it. Of course, it doesn't always work. You still kind of lose, but that's the way to live. And for us as Christians, it's the only way to live. Because we know that actually we are going to get to the end zone. We've got this hope that we were talking about in confirmation class today that's described to us in the book of Revelation, where we're going to be before the throne of God. And all the people of the world, of every nation and every tribe and every language, are going to be gathered before the throne. Oh, I got to read this for you. We read it in confirmation class. I just love this image, especially today as I think about the Viking Stadium. Because that is only a faint foreshadowing of what's in store. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." In the New Living Translation, it says, "And with a great roar." That's what made me think of the stadium. You know, if you've ever been in there, it's just like it almost hurts. The roar is so great. "And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Amen? That's the hope that we're aiming for. That's the certainty that we can see. And that's what Martin Luther King Jr. is talking about when he said, "There is a day coming when we won't be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character." There's a time when we'll be before the throne of Jesus and we'll see that these people that we looked down on, we discriminated against, we thought were of no value in our world, are our brothers and sisters, beloved by God. And we'll hear these languages that in this life sometimes sound so strange and odd, and they're going to sound so beautiful as they join with our voices singing, "Amen, praise to the Lamb." We have this hope. We have this expectation. And it does not disempower us when things don't go our way. In fact, in chapter 7 of Revelation, those that are described here are those who actually died. They're martyrs. And they're singing praise to God because they not only knew in this life, but they experienced through death itself that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That nothing can stop this God. Come and see who it is that we worship. This is an expectation that actually empowers us to live with hope and to make the difference in this world that God is calling us to make. These expectations that empower us, they lead us, first of all, to worship God. That's why we come together on Sunday mornings. That's why we desperately need to take the time, an hour out of our week, to come together and remember who God is, to remind ourselves who God is, to put our hope in the only one true God. In the midst of the cacophony of voices, in the midst of the challenges that we face, when things go our way and when things don't go our way, when the church seems like it's just straight and true and right, and when the church fails miserably, we gather together to worship God, to be still and know who God is. And God is not us. God is not actually even the church. There's only one true God, and we gather to worship God. And through death itself, through failure itself, we put our faith in God. This expectation that empowers us leads us to keep walking, to walk forward into life. And I think about times in my own life where I haven't been able to see where the path was leading. What's around the next corner? Or, you know, in this image of the hiking in the mountains, what's beyond this peak? But we take our next step. We walk forward with this sense of expectation. Come and see. We can't see very far, but I can see the next step. And so I'll take that next step. I'm going to do the right thing right now. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be loving right now, even though I can't imagine how it's going to make any difference at all. I'm going to stand up with my friend. I'm going to stand up for justice. I don't know how it could make any difference in the world. I don't think it can. But I'm going to walk with a sense of expectation. Come and see what God will do. This sense of expectation leads us to keep working, to do the work of the gospel, the work of justice, the work of love in our world, knowing that in the end, it'll get there. It's like grinding it out on that football field. You may get knocked back. You may get ground into the dirt. But we know, in this case, the end of the game is we make it to the goal that God has determined we will make. And so we'll do our work. And it may not seem like much. I'm going to Chicago this week. I want you to pray for me as I go. I'm on this board of ministry for our denomination. And we're facing some challenging issues. I'm not sure what we'll decide or where we're going to go from here. I don't have, maybe this will be a surprise to you, I don't have all the answers. But I'm going to go down there. I'm going to walk, well, fly actually. And I'm going to do my work, my piece. I'm going to meet with the other people. We'll pray. We will share. And my part may be very small. I may feel like a failure because nobody's listening to me. Or I may win the day and be like, I don't know if you should have listened to me. And I'm going to trust God. We're going to do our work, the work we're called to. That's what we do. And we don't do it perfectly, but we'll do our work. And even if our work fails, or so it appears to us, we have this expected hope that God works through the church, through us, through people who do stumble and fail, who sometimes love really well and sometimes don't love very well at all. We're going to walk forward. We're going to do the work, trusting, expecting God to be at work, to accomplish God's purpose. And ultimately that leads us, that expectant hope leads us to witness to the world, to the hope that is within us. That's what the Bible talks about. Is we're supposed to live as people of the resurrection, people who show the world in the midst of the despair and the cynicism, the uncertainty of all that's going on. There's good reason for all of that, but there is even better reason for us to be people of hope in the midst of it, and we will witness to the hope that is ours in the midst of whatever it is we face. Whether things are going the way we think they should or not, we will witness to our faith because we live with this expectant hope. So I want to invite you this week, daily, to take time to worship, to remember who God is, who it is that you are worshiping. I want to invite you this week to walk forward with hope, to do the work that God gives you, little or big, with hope, with a sense of expectation, and to allow that hope within you to be a witness to the world. Even now, as we bow to pray, I want to invite you to pray with that expectant hope, believing that God actually hears our prayers and will accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. That's what the Bible tells us, that God hears our prayer, and we can expect God to answer our prayers beyond what we think God should do. We can trust God as we pray. In fact, right now, I want to invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me, this prayer that honestly, I think I sometimes pray, maybe you do too, without thinking about it very much, without really expecting much from it. Would you pray it with me, expecting that God is listening? and that this prayer, we can pray with boldness that God is answering it. Would you pray with me now? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 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 God bless you this week. Expect God to be at work. Come and see. Let us continue our worship.